Hello and welcome into the Killer Frogs bullpen. This is our ninth episode. We are back. It is me, Carson, and once again, Nate has joined us on this fine night. Nate, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How about y'all?
How, ready to talk some frog ball. Carson, how was your spring break? How was the beach?
Bad.
But not as bad as this weekend or worse?
So. I don't know. I'm not a beach guy. I'm just not. That's what I learned. I had like a just a spiritual journey while watching the sea. And I finally realized at like 3 p.m. one of the days, I was like, wow, I really don't like this. So, combine that with TCU getting swept, it hasn't been a good one.
Yeah, speaking of, you're not a beach guy. TCU is not a winning guy. Let's go ahead and, jump into this weekend's performance. TCU got swept by Oklahoma. They are now dropped to 1-5 in conference play, and Oklahoma's first in the conference at 6-0. Let's just go into your initial broad thoughts. Nate, we'll start with you.
I mean, I'm not too worried yet. There's plenty of season to go. It is pretty worrisome that our hitting's gone a little stagnant. But I'm really not worried about the season. It'll be fine. These games, we dropped them. It's okay. OU's a solid program. But we just gotta figure it out and get it done quick.
Yeah, Carson, what about you?
I mean, obviously it's disappointing to get swept at home. Like that's something that's not supposed to happen, especially when you're ranked in the top 15. But yeah, I'm kind of with Nate there. I'm not obviously not ready to jump ship yet. We've seen what this team can do, and they've shown flashes of it from every angle of the game. So, I mean, there's nothing to worry about yet, really.
TCU suffered its first home series sweep since 2019 against Baylor. They were outscored. It was 23-12. They were outscored on the weekend. Let's go to just jump into the first game. TCU loses the first game, the Friday opener, 7-3. Peyton Tolley had his best performance of the season. I have his final line right here. 6 innings, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 10 strikeouts, 100 pitches, and only allowing 1 walk on the game. Coyer was the first pitcher out of the bullpen. He struggled, gave up a few runs. And then the story of the day for that one was Kyson Witherspoon, the relief pitcher coming out of the bullpen for Oklahoma, shut down TCU's offense, allowing no earned runs, only 4 hits in relief. Carson, first game, initial takeaways from just that game.
Well, one, Kyson Witherspoon's a dog. I mean,
Yes.
that is a he is right up there with the closer from K-State, whose name I'm blanking on right now.
Tyson Neighbors.
Yes, Neighbors. He's right there, right up there with him. I mean, that was just domination all around. I mean, TCU's hitting in that game, like that's kind of what it's been like the past week and a half now, where you've got one guy that's hitting the ball, and then the rest of us are just kind of waiting for something to happen, you know? Curtis Byrne, 2 for 4. That was the best performance offensively of the day. And then just I'm not sure what to say about the pitching. I mean, Peyton totally did his job. That's what you look for out of your Friday night starter.
Nate, when it comes to the pitching side, what are you focusing on more? Peyton Tolley's dominant performance he had, his first really his best game of the season, or the bullpen coming in and not being able to handle it very well?
I mean, totally pitched lights out. It was great to see. And I think the difference was that he's not focusing on hitting that much. He saw a little bit of hitting in one of the games, but like he's not focused on it. So I think he's finally getting his mojo back, and he can place that ball almost anywhere. And so I expect him to continue to get better. So I focus more on that, the goods in the game. I look for the good. But the bullpen needs some help, and I don't really understand the coaching of it and why we keep putting the same relief pitchers in. Get some fresh arms. We've only seen a few pitchers, just a few times, like Bigsby. I mean, I would love to see him and Traeger start pitching more. So I hope coach makes a quick change, and if he sees that we're struggling, start using some more arms, see what's working.
We just mentioned about the who you like to see more of, and we talked about it earlier, Nate, before Carson joined in here, is that Coyer's actually got the third most innings pitched on the team already with 16.1, trailing only behind Peyton Tolley and Cole Klecker with 23 innings. You have the, a group of Andrew Mosiello, Colt Taylor, Jack Schrager, Storm Gjerlzer, and Mason Bixby, who are all at 4 innings or under so far that they pitched on this season. I believe it was 2 weeks ago that Kirk Starless talked and mentioned that he felt the bullpen was already starting to become a little taxed. And I think a lot of it is just overuse of going to the same guys. I think maybe go to a few guys. If they get shelled, then hey, they get shelled. But it's a long season. We still have 2 months from today as the last game of the season. So, let's throw some other arms out there, get some guys out there. That Carson, that Peyton Tolley, I text you. That was the most animated we've seen him in any game so far this season. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
He
he was electric.
yeah. He and so that's one of the things that like I love seeing in pitchers is whenever they can get a big strikeout and then try and fire their team up as they're going to the dugout. There's not a lot of pitchers in college baseball that do that on like an inning by inning basis, but Tolley and Braden Sloan do that really well. Now, Braden Sloan didn't have as good of an outing. But I like that they're at least showing emotion to kind of fire things up.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just one of those that it was nice to see him showing that emotion, and even his control was there. Anything else you guys want to talk about in that first game before we go to just slide over to the second game?
You're good to go.
All right, second game. TCU loses 7-5. Nice bounce back performance by Klecker on the weekend after last weekend against Kansas. Hunter Hodges came in relief, 3.1 innings. He was amazing, honestly. And out of the bullpen, TCU tied it up 5-5 with a 3-run 8th inning, and the lineup went 7 for 34 in the game with a 205 batting average. Nate, it's kind of been the story. TCU is going to make it exciting, then they're going to have an inevitable collapse. It kind of seems. What's more shocking, the fact that TCU ended up blowing that lead in the 9th inning, or the team going 7 for 34 for a 205 batting average on the night?
I mean, the batting average, I mean, it hasn't been a shock because we've seen it for the past couple of weeks here now. But I think a lot of it is they get down. Once the pitching starts doing bad, I think the hitters get like kind of down. So I think it was nice to see Tolley hyped up the night before. But once the pitching got down and you have somebody like Klecker who's just like even kill, I think it kind of gets in the pitcher, I mean, the batter's head. So I'm think the batting is kind of more worrisome, but the pitchers did good. I mean, they gave up 2 home runs. I mean, that was the change of the game. If not, we win that game. So, and Klecker's been known to give up at least a home run a game. I don't know what it is about what his pitches do. I don't know if it's just high velocity and high in the zone or what, but they take it out of here almost every time. And that ball was launched. So I think it's just a mixture of both.
Yeah, Carson, Hunter Hodges, 3.1 innings out of the bullpen. Yeah, only allowed 2 hits, 1 earned, 1 run, 2 walks on the night, and 5 strikeouts. What did you see from him that had him thrown as well as he did?
I mean, it was just, yeah, it's pretty much him and Luis Rodriguez that are the only guys that can kind of come into a game and just I was going to say something, but I'm not. But they really don't care about what the situation is, who the team they're facing is. They do their job. And that's what I feel a lot of these guys are having trouble doing is that it seems like we're kind of worrying about stuff that we don't have control over. I mean, as a pitcher, you have to have a very short-term memory, very short-term. Like, it doesn't matter if you've given up 5 bombs that day. It doesn't matter if you've got 12 strikeouts in 5 innings. Like, you just have to keep going. I like what I saw from him. I do feel like he could be a little bit better about kind of getting ahead of guys and not letting them go to a 3-2, 2-2 count, but I mean, that's just kind of me being nitpicky.
Yeah, I think we also saw probably the best play by a TCU player this season, and Carson Bowen, the diving grab he made at first on when he crashed in for the bunt. One
That
of the
was
greatest
nuts.
plays, yeah. I think a lot of that's TCU was down 5-2. They were struggling. They only had three hits going into the eighth inning, and then they kind of ended up turning it around, scoring three runs. And then just to give it all up, it just kind of seems like when the hitting's finally getting figuring it out, the pitching can't hold it together in that end either. Something that they kind of need to, I really don't know how they fix that, but also a 205 batting average on the day. Not a good look. Third game of the weekend, TCU loses 9-4. They're trying to salvage at least a win out of that one, and they end up getting swept. Braden Sloan, 2.1 innings. Not a horrible performance. He was just kind of getting hit around. His pitches look good. Sometimes, you just get beat regardless of which side you're playing on. Luis Rodriguez came in relief, 3.1 innings, two hits, one earned run, one walk, one strikeout, was phenomenal, just as he was Tuesday against Dallas Baptist. And then we also had the lineup continue to struggle. Carson Bowen kind of started a slow glimpse of him getting out of a slump, hitting a home run over there. Logan Maxwell saw his 19 game on base streak in, dating back to last season's College World Series appearance. He lost that streak. I'm sorry, Carson.
No.
Nate, let's start with you. That Sunday game, you said that you needed a break that Sunday for TCU baseball, but what did they show you? What did you see from them on that Sunday?
They felt like they had a little more bite to them on Sunday. It didn't come in our favor, of course, but at least we had two home runs, and that was nice to see. Because we had been really stagnant on the offensive side and nothing was really happening. I mean, yes, Curtis Burns been on fire, but somebody like Carson Bowen, it was nice to see. And I mean, it was really, I think pitching wise, Sloan had a off night, or off day per se, but like, I don't think he pitched bad. I don't think he pitched terrible. I think he could have continued to go a little longer. But I think coach was just in hopes that we could come back. So, and he was getting a little shelled out there. So look for him to continue to come back from that. But overall, I think it was just they were down from the weekend and OU was hot and nothing was going to stop them from getting that game.
Yeah, Carson, Curtis Byrne, home run, an absolute moonshot that he hit.
Yeah.
He left three batters on base when he came up to hit. Carson Bowen left three on base, and the team left eight as a whole. Are we seeing a problem with the TCU lineup that we kind of saw Sunday where they're just leaving too many guys on base?
Yeah. So I was trying to find it earlier, but as a team, when TCU has runners in scoring position, I believe that we are around the 220 mark right now. For reference as to how bad that is from 2 weeks ago, we were at like the 450 mark about 2 weeks ago. So that is definitely a cause for concern. But I mean, like we've kind of been saying, it's not time to panic because this team has shown flashes of being really good on every single side of the ball. But I think they need time. They need time to kind of figure out how to play with each other.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just TCU's kind of pressing. It seems like whenever they get guys on base, they're trying to be the one that changes the flow of the game. And we're kind of seeing TCU stray from the typical style of baseball that we've all known them to play is, hey, you're gonna go station to station, you're gonna work a count deep. I appreciate the fact that they're trying to get aggressive, maybe switch things up after a scouting report gets caught on them, but it's just not working. Sometimes when it's not working, you just got to go back to what was working, I think that's we got some questions we could talk about. Anything else you guys want to talk about for about the immediate games that we saw this week before we go into the questions and get going with that?
I would just say, I would like you were saying, I think we should go back to what we were doing find a consistent lineup and stick to it, because how are guys supposed to get hot if you're changing them out every game? I think whether it be Jack Basir or whether it be Peyton Tolley or whether it be Brody Green coming back in, you got to figure that out and you got to stick with it.
Yeah, we talked about that. I believe the second week of the season where we saw a different lineup basically every game. And we kind of talked about then, is it good or bad for the guys not able to get a foothold in the lineup and be able to see consistent at bats? I think at the time we said it wasn't a bad thing, rotate some guys in. But I think at this point, when you're in a slump, shuffle them around in the lineup. Like we saw Anthony Silva go from hitting fifth to hitting seventh on Saturday, or maybe it was Sunday. But try things out, but keep the guys in there, keep your core in there. Let's go ahead and jump straight into the questions. First one, Carson, I'll kick it off to you in the first one because I know Nate has a lot to say on this one. Is it time to have a conversation about Luis Rodriguez being in the weekend rotation?
Not the weekend rotation yet, but I do want him in the bullpen for the weekend. I think throwing him in the midweek is hurting us long term. I would much rather, because he's shown that he can go to 3 to 4 innings if we really need to. And I just don't, I if we have to just throw a bullpen game every Wednesday, I'm okay with that. Get innings for the guys that don't get a lot of work in. I mean, I feel like we're wasting him on Wednesday.
Yeah. Nate, what about you? I'll kick it out to you on that one.
So, I mean, I'm throwing him out there on Sunday, as a starter. And the reason for this being is because he can go a long way. And with us being in the hole, if we're losing Friday night or we're losing Saturday, we're gonna need that Sunday. So if he can give you those innings, and I'm moving Ben Hampton to a relief on one of those days. I'm also moving, I'm either moving Zach Morris to a weekday starter or Cademan Parker, one of those two. And if they can get you through the week, great. And then the other is going to use his relief as well, because we're only going to need 2 innings from each of them, solid innings. And with our bullpen struggling right now, I think we need those 2 solid innings instead of Louis going 5, because then who's going to come in after him? And I would like to get off to a hot start instead of giving up 2 runs, because that changes the momentum of a game.
Yeah, no, I think I'm kind of at that borderline between both of you. Luis Rodriguez is a qualified pitcher, and he has a 1.69 ERA on the season. There's only two other pitchers under a 3 ERA on the team. That's Hunter Hodges and Ben Abelt. But Luis's been phenomenal. We saw last season what he was capable of pre-injury, and then he kind of never really returned to that form. But in the DBU game, his slider was phenomenal. Coming in relief against Oklahoma, his slider was phenomenal. When Louis has a slider working, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball, and I'll stand by that. I think what he's able to offer to the team in his role now, coming out of the bullpen, is, like you said, Carson, a little bit more valuable right now. And that's because in only 20% of starts on the season, TCU's starters have gone deeper than the 5 innings 20% of the time. It's just having to be able to know, hey, if Peyton Tolley or Cole Klecker can't get through that fifth inning, and I got Louis that I could throw in the fourth, and he's going to get me to the seventh or eighth. That's more valuable right now than throwing him in on a Sunday slot. Let's go ahead and move on to the next question. Where are the other bullpen options? Zach Coyer's coming in. He's got 16 innings pitched on the season. Braden Sloan, 15.2. Kyle Ayers, 11.2. Ben Abelt's already at 13 pitches on the season. We already mentioned before that there's five guys who are at 4 innings pitched or under. Nate, where are they at? Why haven't we been seeing other guys get featured?
I mean, Sarlos has been showing this for this past few seasons. He has his guys and he sticks with them. Rather as Slotznagel would go through the whole bullpen and see what was working. I mean, I would like to see a happy medium, but like people like Storm Harhoes, sorry for the pronunciation, but and Mason Bigsby, and I mean, you got some arms in the bullpen. I mean, you got Cademan Parker, who's looked good for the past few games, shutting people down for at least 2 innings. Where are these guys? I don't know, but I think he has his guys, and that's who he's going to go to, even if he doesn't get the result that he wants. I think he's just going to continue to go to him until it works.
Yeah, Carson, who would you like to see more of and who would you like to see less of, maybe to get him some rest? Maybe they focus on a few things. Who are you hoping to see more of and less of?
Gee, I wonder who. Mason Bixby. I want to see more of that. It is very rare that you get a freshman that can throw 95 to 97 miles an hour. Okay. Like that. And I'm not saying that he doesn't have some grand plan for Mason Bixby. Like maybe he's got it in his head where he gets a little bit of experience this year and then he rolls him out as a starter next year or something. Maybe he's got something up his sleeve. But I don't think he will be useful later in the year if we don't give him innings now. And especially because we're in Big 12 play, that velo becomes much more important. Where I think I was looking at the velocities from pretty much all the Big 12 pitchers from this last week. The Big 12 pitchers on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday averaged 92 to 95 miles an hour. TCU's starting pitching averages like 90 to 91. And I'm not saying that that's like a bad thing, but it becomes a large difference when you're having to see that every single week.
Yeah, I think the one guy that I just like to see more of is Jack Schrager. We talked about how much he was lighting up summer ball. He looked good in fall camp. Spring camp, he had a little bit of struggles, but I mean, he's shown that he's got an arm and he's capable of doing big things. When that curveball is on for Jax, it's disgusting. I would like to see more of him. I think he provides a valuable arm that right now TCU is going through a lot of arms and isn't able to find a reliable one out of. Besides the likes of Hunter Hodges and Louis Rodriguez right now, that hey, we're already giving up runs out of the bullpen. Why not just take a chance on someone else who maybe you're not as confident in, and let's see where it goes from there.
I mean, that's why I'm saying have the bullpen game on Wednesday. Just, I
Yeah.
mean, if you have to go one pitcher for every inning, or one or like one pitcher every two innings, do that. But I feel like everybody needs the experience before they go in on the weekend.
Yeah, we saw that happen in what was it, the Washington State game, I believe it was. Or maybe it was the Arizona State game, or Arizona game, that Kirk said he wasn't feeling too confident in his bullpen, so he just had a bullpen game. Let him get right, Let them all get an inning, get some arms out there. If we need to do that again, let's do that again. You got UTA coming to town tomorrow that we'll talk about shortly. Let's go on to the next question. Carson, we touched on it last week and you said it was a tough question. I'm gonna bring it back to you. I'm gonna kick it to you first, and then I'm gonna go back to Nate. I asked you last week, are we more concerned with the offensive production or the pitching? Last week you said the pitching. Are you sticking with that answer this week, or do you want to change to the offense? Because let me pull up a stat for you because I got it right here.
Oh,
Since
God.
TCU started 13-0, and they have gone 2-5 since, the team is batting has a batting average of 226.
All right. No, I'm gonna stick with my answer because I know that hitting is a very streaky thing. Even top programs, Florida, Mississippi State, are gonna go through their dry spells throughout the season.
Those are the top programs you picked, but go on, continue with your
It's
point.
just those are the two that came to mind. Wake Forest. You show me list all of them? I'll just list all of them. No. No, I still think it's the pitching because the hitting is streaky. And I don't think that TCU is a long ball team this year. Curtis Byrne and Carson Bowen did go yard on Sunday, but I think you're going to see a much different offense than last year, where you've got Cole Fontenelle, Braden Taylor, who are hitting home runs every other game. So I think the offense just needs to figure out how to play together. I think that's probably going to be my motto for every week here on out.
Yeah, Nate, what about you? What's more concerning for you right now, the pitching production or the offensive production?
Pitching production, because these are teams that you should be taking care of, and pitching is not as streaky like as hitting.
Yeah.
If you can figure out a pitcher, any team can figure out a pitcher. And the fact that we're pitching them this much, they've already figured them out. There's a bunch of film on them. So that's pretty concerning to me. And it's concerning that people like Coyer are extremely accurate, but throwing it right over the plate. I mean, you've got to be able to place your pitches like Tolley does on the edges. And the fact that we're not getting high strikeout numbers besides Tolley and Rodriguez, that's pretty concerning to me. And hitting will come back. Think about last year, Braden Taylor went into a slight slump. I mean, I think he dropped all the way to like 240 at a point. It will come back, and it will be headed by Logan Maxwell and Curtis Byrne.
Yeah, I do agree that the pitching production is a little worrisome, but just to talk about the offensive production a little bit, I will say it does worry me more. And more so not only in a team aspect, but the people we're seeing struggle, such as Anthony Silva, Carson Bowen, Peyton Chatagnier, are all big name players who just aren't able to get those hits that they are. Anthony Silva's got a 310 batting average, Carson Bowen 260. Peyton Chatagnier is the lowest batting average on the team of qualified hitters with 243. The one thing that all three of those players have in common is they're leading the team in strikeouts right now, which is very unlike Anthony Silva and Carson Bowen. Peyton Chatagnier has struggled with the K rate at Ole Miss before, but I think a lot of it is these guys are they're just in a slump right now. Something that they'll break out of. It's how baseball goes, but I think for right now, with what you're looking at, it just kind of worries me more. Good pitching will always beat good hitting, but TCU's good hitting has been beating the good pitching they've been seeing. So until that happens, who kind of knows what this team ends up going with and looking like the rest of the way. But it's kind of hard to gauge where TCU actually is at after the inflated start, the offensive slump. And I think we'll learn more a lot about this team coming up shortly. All right, let's go to the next question. You talked about it earlier, Nate, so I'll kick it off to you first. The DH role is yet to be figured out. We've seen a hodgepodge of guys there. Jack Passier Friday, Sunday, Peyton Tolley on Saturday. Who would you like to see there? Who do you want to see in this DH spot going forward?
I don't know what's going on with Brody Green. Going forward, I would love to see him come back to that role. But right now, I'm going with Jack Basir. I want Tolley to figure out his pitching and continue to figure it out. I feel like he's done better that way. And I'd rather him figure out his hitting on his own time later. We need his pitching right now desperately. And I think Jack Basir at least will put contact on it instead of striking out. So that can be useful for us, especially if Jack Basir can get back to his numbers last year. I think that's the way I want to go. Until Brody Green's healthy, Jack Basir all the way.
Yeah, Carson, what about you?
Yeah, I've got the same answer. It pretty much has to be Jack Basir. Micah Kendrick and Jack Arthur have gotten a few at bats here and there. And Micah Kendrick has a decent eye at the plate, but I didn't see anything crazy from him at the games against Arizona State and USC. I feel like so when I'm just kind of like doom scrolling on Twitter, I'll be seeing like the D1 baseball highlights and stuff like that, and it seems like most of the top 25 teams have a designated hitter that's just absolutely tearing it up. Like he's hitting like 430 with like eight or nine home runs. And I feel like TCU kind of just doesn't have that right now. Not saying that it couldn't happen in the future, but yeah, it seems like they haven't figured out the lineup yet. And I think when Brody Green does come back, I think they will be a lot better.
Yeah, TCU does have a 430 hitter, and it is Brody Green, by the way.
That's what I'm
So,
saying. That's what I'm
yeah.
saying.
Brody Green is definitely my pick. Carson, you can attest to this. I am the biggest Brody Green truther in the
Yes.
country.
Yes.
But, Jack Passier, he's kind of, I don't want to say he's had his chance to make an impact because obviously baseball's streaky. He could have a bad weekend, and the next weekend he's the best hitter in the country. But I want to see Jack Arthur get a little, few more reps there. What he was able to do at Weatherford Junior College, the power he brings is a power that this team doesn't have. I think it's something that maybe it ignites a little bit of a flame in the lineup. Just throwing him down at the 8 hole, let him get down there behind Chase Brunson, who's going to get on. I think maybe it's just time to shake up the entire lineup as a whole. Maybe a new leadoff hitter. Peyton Chatagnier kind of has been in a really bad slump. Maybe let's move him out of there. Let's throw someone else in there. Let's just, you're not at the point where everything needs to be thrown out the window of what you were doing, but we're getting close to a point where, hey, maybe everything's on the table for what could be switched. Let's go to the last question before we go on to the UTA preview and the Big 12 recap. Is this reminiscent of last season's team, Carson, or do you feel that it's worse or not as bad as the slump that the TCU team was in last season?
If I had to choose right now, I would say worse, just because this slump is happening earlier in the season. I think it's too early to tell for sure on this. I feel like you give it a couple weeks, I think I could give you again a much more definitive answer, but as of right now, it's a little worse.
Yeah, Nate, what about you? Do you think, gauging where the team was in their slump last season compared to this season, what are you feeling about it?
I wouldn't say it's worse, but I would say it's more worrisome, because last year we had Braden Taylor and Cole Fontenelle. We knew they had power, so like I wasn't really worried. I was like, that's going to come, and they're going to get their opportunities. Here, I mean, we really don't have that guy that's just going to be a stud no matter what, besides Logan Maxwell. So that's kind of worrisome to me. And Logan Maxwell is not going to be able to do it himself. And it's coming early, like Carson said. So that's just a little bit more worrisome to me, but I wouldn't say it's worse. I would say it's about the same.
Yeah. I'm kind of going to go, I'm going to sound a little bit doomsday here, but I'm going to go worse, and I'm going to go way worse. Last season, it was just slump. But this season, we're seeing, you know, the likes of Anthony Silva, Carson Bowen, who just don't even look like themselves from the previous years. Anthony Silva had a really bad base running mishap this week where he got caught in a rundown, cost the team a run or two. He's made a few errors out at shortstop. And I just think it's kind of just more worrisome about where they are. And you're not used to seeing this from the team you saw last year, and it's the same guys that were on both teams. And I think it just worries me a little bit more that while baseball's a streaky game, it's also a very, very very big mental game, that if Anthony Silva's struggling and he, you know, can't seem to get himself out of it, like some players just can't at times, then it's just something that can snowball for the rest of the season. And when you're already down 1-5 in conference play, it's kind of a bad start to be off of when you still got Texas Tech, Texas, Kansas State, West Virginia, some really good teams in Oklahoma State this upcoming weekend. All right, let's go ahead and get into the Big 12 recap about what happened over the weekend. And I'll kind of get you guys' thoughts on it. UCF took 2 out of 3 from Oklahoma State. Cincinnati took 2 out of 3 from Kansas. Baylor took 2 out of 3 from Texas Tech. And BYU took 2 out of 3 from Houston, and we had the Oklahoma 3-0 sweep of TCU. Minus the Oklahoma TCU game. Which one of those games, Carson, to kick it with you, it kind of shocks you the most out of that one, out of those results?
Baylor versus Texas Tech. As much as I hate seeing Baylor win, that is funny. It's funny. I love it. Yeah, Texas Tech should have swept them and run ruled them all 3 games. Like, that is, and while I'm at it, TCU should do the same to Baylor, but hold on, maybe Baylor's actually decent. I don't know.
Yeah, but Carson, you remember when we talked Thursday and I said, I'm kind of worried about Tech's pitching, and you go, no, Tech will sweep this. And I was like, okay.
I surefire said with all of my heart, I said I would be surprised if Baylor scores 4 or 5 runs the entire weekend. But yeah. Hey, you know what? Props to them. They proved me wrong. All right.
Hey, any given day in baseball. Nate, what about you? You going with that Baylor and Tech game? Is that the most surprising game to you as well, or series over the weekend?
Yeah, I would say that is the most surprising to me for sure. When I looked up and saw the scores, I was like, whoa. And I think Tech kind of got caught off guard, and they're kind of like TCU. They were in the preseason polls, and now they're kind of reevaluating how they got to go about the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, not to pile on Tech just because TCU does still have to play them, but I'm going to talk about Kansas. Kansas looked great last weekend against TCU. And then Kansas dropped 2-3 to Cincinnati, a Cincinnati team who has not been very good this year at all. They won 14-4 on Friday, lost 1-0 Saturday, and lost 10-1 on Sunday. Just kind of a little thing that it's like, hey, any given weekend in baseball, you can win, but it's kind of just shocking after how good Kansas looked last weekend, and kind of makes me a little bit more worried about their team based off TCU just losing a series to them.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and jump into TCU's game that they have tomorrow night. They will be taking on the UTA Mavericks, University of Texas at Arlington at Lupton, the first ever Bark in the Park. If you got a dog, make sure you go there with your dog. They're playing a UTA team who is 7-13 on the season. Not very good out in the Mountain West Conference. How big of a game is this for TCU, Carson? How big?
I mean, I think it's, I don't think it's big, to be honest. I feel like it's more of a mental reset game. Like, okay, you've lost 5 of your last 6, or I'm sorry, 5 of your last 7. So now you have to kind of reevaluate how you do stuff. And I feel like you should just be able to throw a couple pitchers here if you really want to just win the game. Just throw 2 or 3 pitches and you should be fine against a program like UTA. But I've already reiterated, I would rather them use it as a bullpen game.
Yeah. Nate, what about you? Do you is this a big game for TCU, or is this, hey, it's just another midweek? Midweeks are always up in the air. How are you feeling about this one going into it?
I mean, this UTA team is sneaky. I wouldn't say they're great, but they're sneaky. They can have that one guy that's gonna go off in the bullpen. So I think it's a needed win to reset us, but I don't think it's a must win. I think it's just a game that we need to figure out some things, and whether it means throwing 8 arms, picking up a inning apiece, let's do it. But I want to see a similar approach to what we saw a couple weeks ago when we did that. Because I think these bullpens, the bullpen needs a reset and figure out what they're doing.
Yeah, and UTA, like you said, they're a sneaky team. Don't be confused by their schedule very much. They're gonna be led by Tyson Pointer, the right fielder, 313 batting average on the season, 11 RBIs, leading or second on the team. Their Tuesday nights for UTA are kind of bullpen games. They're gonna throw everything in the kitchen sink at you a little bit. But they're, as long as you can keep their offense in check, which is not the best. They only have one batter, and it's Tyson Pointer above 300 on the season. The only other player you really kind of have to worry about is Parker Earhart. He's got a third of the team's home runs on the season with 5 out of the 15. Let's Nate Binhamton kind of struggled a little bit. Dallas Baptist last week. That's a top 15 team in the country, the number one, middle of the pack power country or power conference team. Binhamton, are you expecting a big game from him this week? He's only got 11 pitches on or 11 innings pitched on the season. Are we finally going to see that deep, long outing by Binhamton tomorrow?
I sure hope so. I mean, he's finding the zone, and I think he's looked fine. Like at DBU, I think he could have kept going. But with it being a top 25 team, you're gonna have to switch him out quicker. But he doesn't seem to get down on himself, which I like about him. And he's been there, done that before, and he's a big time pitcher. So I look for him to have a big game coming up soon, whether it be this one, next week, or whatever, and maybe even move him into the weekend. As a relief pitcher, but I say he's gonna have a big game.
Yeah, Carson, Binhamton's home run per fly ball rate is at 20%. So most of the time when hitters are elevating his fastball against him, most of the time they're getting it out of here. Are we gonna see some of that tomorrow against a UTA team that struggles to put the ball out of the park, or do we think we're gonna see the Binhamton all Big 12 transfer that we've been expecting to see tomorrow?
I think we'll see the all Big 12 transfer. I think that his starts the last couple of weeks have come against some sneaky midweek teams that are pretty darn good. I mean, namely, really, it was really only DBU, but I think against UTA, I think he'll do good. I'm expecting like at least I would say 4 innings. Like, because that's kind of all I'm asking for in that midweek game. It's just 4 solid innings of work.
All right, one more question about the UTA preview, and then we'll kind of move on to the MVP recap and our guesses for the weekend. How are you treating this game going into tomorrow if you're making the lineup? Are you keeping the starting lineup, or are you going to give some guys some times off to maybe try some different things or get them out of a slump? You know, Carson, are you rolling with your weekend starters tomorrow, or are you going to try a new lineup?
If we had more time, I would just list a lineup. But I'm switching it up. I'm probably taking Chatagnier out of the one spot. And honestly, I just mix everything. Honestly, at this point, I feel like I'm okay pulling the trigger on that and just seeing if anybody sticks anywhere in the lineup where they really like to hit.
Yeah, Nate, what about you? You want to go with the weekend lineup, or are you trying to roll something new as well?
I'm trying something new, and I'm thinking about switching it up, figuring out who's gonna work where. I say leave your core people who are doing good. Logan Maxwell, Curtis Byrne. I know Logan Maxwell has been banged up and his legs aren't as good as they should be, but I'm using him to get this game started. And I say try somebody else at the first spot, leading us off. I mean, you see that Chatagnier is struggling. Let's try somebody else. Let's see what we got. I
Sam
mean, I
Myers.
wouldn't mind. Yeah, Sam Myers. I mean, we got Dewar, who hasn't played much. I mean, there's some names in there that we can use.
Yeah, like you said, Sam Myers would probably be my go-to for that leadoff spot. But that could honestly figure out its own way. Throw Logan Maxwell at the DH position and let's run Boyers and Myers out in the outfield. I don't hate the thought of that, an idea of that. And it figures out your DH spot a little bit. Let's go ahead and jump into the MVP recap for the weekend. It is not going to be good. As for the pitching that happened, Carson, you chose Mason Bixby, and I chose Braden Sloan. We're going to do what we did last week with the pitching. We're going to call it a wash. And as for the hitting, you had Peyton Chatagnier, and I had Carson Bowen. As much as I'd kind of like to take credit for a Bowen win there, we're going to call that one a wash because there wasn't no really good offensive production for the weekend besides Logan Maxwell.
Well, I don't know. Bowen hit a home run.
Bowen hit a home run that
I feel like that counts for something.
I swear to God, that wind took that 20 more feet than it probably should have ever been. 93
It
miles an hour off the bat.
I was gonna say it didn't look hard off
No,
the
yeah.
bat.
93 off the bat and a little wall scraper right field. We're gonna call it a wash for the entire thing.
Man, we
Nate.
suck at this.
Yeah, we're not very good. Apparently, I think we're the curse. Nate, you're our guest, so let's go to start with you. Pitching MVP. Who do you got for tomorrow's game? We will say no Ben Hampton. Since it is only one midweek starter, we will say it has to be a bullpen guy that you expect to see and get some good time in.
I think we see Mosiello come out of the pen, and I think he's gonna throw a good solid 3 innings tomorrow. And because he's been on the edge, he hasn't pitched bad, he hasn't pitched great. Let's get him back to where he was at Oregon and let's settle him down a little bit. And he has the velocity, he has the pitches that he needs. Let's settle him down and let's get him some action.
Yeah, all right. I like that one. Carson, what about you?
I mean, depending on if he's going to pitch in the midweek game, I would love to choose Mason Bixby, but I don't know.
That makes the midweek ones fun. You don't know who's going to show up on that
Yeah,
day.
maybe I just close my eyes. I'll probably go Luis Rodriguez if he pitches. I mean, I feel like if he's their midweek guy, then I feel like that's an easy one to choose just because of how good he's been so far in the season.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a name that doesn't get said much on this podcast, but I have a feeling it's going to start getting said much. I'm going Colt Taylor. yeah, Colt Taylor. I think he's going to start playing a significant role with how the bullpen's been performing, and I think
I think so too,
I
yeah.
kind of like what he's been doing. Carson, we'll kick it to you. You're hitting MVP for tomorrow, considering we don't know what's going to happen with the lineup. We don't know who's going to play. Give me your best guess. Let's go.
All right, who was I choosing when we were winning? I think I was choosing. I think I'm pretty sure I was choosing like Logan Maxwell and Curtis Byrne,
Yes.
the two best hitters on the team as of right now.
Yeah.
I'll go Logan Maxwell just because I feel like he's a solid lock for at least one hit on the night, and as bad as this TCU team is hitting right now, one hit is pretty good for 3 to 4 at bats.
Just an interesting thing, though. Maxwell's only played in one midweek game, and it was the DBU game. He has not played in any other midweek game.
Not trust he plays tomorrow.
All right, we'll go with that. Nate, what about you? Who's your
I'll
guess?
stick it.
I'm going Ryder Robinson. I feel like
Okay.
he's waiting for it to get hot, and he's showed us flashes of greatness. And so look for him to use this as another way to prove that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with, I can't be his biggest fan and not pick him at least once a week, Brody Green. He will be in the lineup tomorrow. I put a guarantee approval stamp on that one. He will be
Oh.
in the lineup either in some form or fashion, because I think we're gonna see Anthony Silva sit and we'll see Micah at shortstop and Brody at third.
I would have. Well, wait, wouldn't they?
Or
I feel like they.
Micah at second, Ryder Robinson at short, and Brody Green at third.
Oh, so you think they take Chatagnier out as well?
Yes.
Oh. I was gonna say,
Yes.
I feel like if anything, they'll throw Ryder Robinson at shortstop and keep Chatagnier at second if
I
Brody
think
Green plays.
Kurt kind of realizes the team needs a little bit of a full mental reset with how hard they're pressing, that, you know
Yeah.
what, if we drop a midweek to UTA because the guys need a mental reset and it helps the rest of the week or the season, so be it. But like, let's get these guys right, you know? It's a long season ahead. So I'm gonna go with Brody Green. And yeah, I think that'll basically about do it. One of our longer episodes of the year. But Nate, as always, it was a pleasure having you on. Carson, it's great to have you back on this one. And yeah, we'll be back. Yeah, we'll do it Thursday night. Maybe Friday morning again. We'll kind of see what March Madness is going on that Thursday night. But thank you guys for joining us. You can check out the weekend recaps that will be posted by Carson. Midweek preview on UTA if you want more of it. That will be up on the website today as well. And we'll see you guys next time.